We are live. It is Major League Soccer week 24, 25, 26. I guess it depends what team you're on. What I do know, it's our 20th straight week bringing Major League Soccer content, our 20th straight week with a sports betting article. Thank you guys for joining us here today. It's IE Sports. Now, you know who we are. I'm Bob. This is my co-host, Alex, but we have a very special guest from Sons of a Pitch. That is Mike. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where we can find your work?
Absolutely. Welcome. Thanks for having me. Welcome to all the viewers. Hopefully, I got brought a few guys over tonight. But you can find me at Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central on YouTube. We're blowing up over there. We do Twitter, at SOP Soccer, Instagram, Facebook, all that other business. But it's everything MLS. Everything CONCACAF. So we've kind of branched out. We're doing a lot of Canada soccer, USMNT, Mexico, CONCACAF Champions League, all that kind of stuff. But if you like CONCACAF, if you love CONCACAF, you got to find my channel, Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central.
Absolutely. Go over there. Give it a like. Give it a subscribe. We're all not paid by Major League Soccer to talk about Major League Soccer. What's better than that? Now, you talked a little about CONCACAF, and that is kind of the first major news story of the week. So let's get after it. Let's get into the traffic report. The I-80 Sports Traffic Report, where you can find all your news and notes from the week. We're going to start out today with the new Leagues Cup, which was announced starting in 2023. All Major League Soccer and Liga MX teams will compete in the Leagues Cup. It'll take place during a one-month break in domestic play. It's supposed to invigorate interest in soccer in North America before the World Cup, and a quote from Don Garber said, "The World Cup is a transformational opportunity for our league. We need programming, we need partnerships and activities, so why don't just wait for it to come? This tournament, the Leagues Cup, will be rocket fuel." It's the quote of the week, rocket fuel. What do you guys think?
He's not wrong. Yeah, if you look at the viewership of Liga MX in this country, it's incredibly high. And now with this, you know, everyone wants to see U.S. versus Mexico. You know, U.S. is better. We beat them twice in two tournaments in the summer, which really right now really doesn't matter if you don't make the World Cup. And, you know, last night you saw Seattle lose to Lyon 3-2. The score wasn't that close in the League Cup final, the old version. This is a chance now, MLS, again, constantly family and Champions League, to see if one of the teams can beat a Mexican team for a major trophy. Now, the first problem you're going to see as outsiders, you're going to say the spending. Spending in MLS compared to Liga MX, we have a salary cap. They do not. That is a problem. And, you know, another issue to look at this, to suspend the season in the middle of the season where some owners' teams, they have a tournament. I understand there's a financial, I don't know how much the prize money is. They want to make a prize money, make it more incentive for these guys to go all out when they play. I don't know if that's big. I don't know if that's really... You know, let's say I'm pick a team, New England. Do you really want to play Gustavo Bo on in that tournament? You want him to rest before MLS comes back and go for the MLS Cup? I mean, you know, this is a question we're gonna have to wait. Again, it's 2 years down the way. Things could change, but you know, if there are a lot of the fans that are of both countries, especially you know the Mexican fans of this country love the Liga MX, they're gonna be into this. And you know, those games when you break it down in groups of four, you can have some really serious matchups. So let's say an LA Galaxy versus Club America in round one. People are going to go wild for that. I'll tell you that right now.
Just another excuse for some Mexican fans to outnumber the United States fans in some of our own stadiums. Mike, what do you think about the new Leagues Cup announcement?
You know, I'm interested to see what it turns out to be. I mean, right now, from the details we have, there's not enough out there. We got to see it roll through at least one or two times before it can really make a good judgment call on it. For me, just as a high-level overview, I think it's a bit of a cash grab by MLS and Liga MX. But again, there's more soccer. When there's more soccer, I'm a happy guy. So that's a good thing. But again, you bring up a good point there, Alex. I mean, you've got this in the middle of the season. You're going to stop the leagues, and you've got a guy who's – are you going to play him in these games that
– right.
Yeah, they matter for a CCL spot maybe if you get there. But you're still going to focus on MLS Cup and going for that. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially then when you've got these summer tournaments. Okay, if they're going to pause the season in the middle of the summer – well, guess what? In 2023, there's a Gold Cup going on. You're going to have other international tournaments and windows that are going to come and mess things up. So it's not as perfect as they think it is, but you know what? It's more soccer. I'm happy about it, but let's see it play out a little.
And when it comes to talking about the wealth gap, I'm not so worried about the stars. I'm more worried about the depth. You know, Major League Soccer teams are notorious for having, you know, one striker on the roster, and when he goes down, you're done. So when we talk about spending, it's not necessarily only the top spending, it's the bottom spending too. But if Major League Soccer is taking the step to be the powerhouse in North America, you do have, besides the money, we have LA. There's no LA in Mexico. You have Las Vegas. There's no Las Vegas in Mexico. You have New York City. You have Miami. You have Orlando. So I think the draw is not only the money, it's also playing, being part of the brand. And, you know, you look at what we're doing with Major League Baseball, NFL. I know we're not there yet. Sponsorships are just as lucrative as, you know, the contract that they sign. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. Nation League's Cup, it's a money grab. That's okay. Soccer's about money. In the end, we're talking about sports betting picks. I mean, we can't really knock too much on coaches wanting to get the most out of their investment here.
I just would add one thing. You know, Telemundo's definitely pushing this. The viewership alone, you just think about their sponsorship on Telemundo. Telemundo viewership for this tournament, the same with you, is going to be incredibly high. And, you know, the Liga MX is also pushing for this. They're looking for more exposure. And why not try this? Again, I think the TV ratings are going to be good. And if you base it on just that alone, it's going to be successful.
Absolutely. Let's talk about our second news story of the week here, and that is FC Dallas firing head coach Luchi Gonzalez. We went from big spending. Now we're going to talk about youth and development, because Luchi Gonzalez was the head of the youth team there for many years, became the head coach about 2 years ago. Dallas is currently 11th in the West. They conceded 15 goals in their last six games, and they conceded 43 goals total this season, third most in the league. They have six wins, nine draws, 11 ties, and no head coach. Dallas FC president Dan Hunt said, and I quote, We made the tough decision to part ways with Luchi after a great deal of thought and deliberation. We believe a coaching change is in the best interest for the club at this time to help us achieve our goals. I want to thank Luchi for everything he has done for this organization. We wish him all the best. Of those things he's done for this organization is raise a whole lot of stars that went over to Europe to play, a whole lot of U.S. men's national team players. This is kind of a dual-edged sword. He was not getting the job done this year in FC Dallas, but they sold all his players and moved him up into tournaments right out from under his feet. What do we think about Luchi Gonzalez and his Dallas FC firing?
I want to jump in on this. I don't like this move at all. Pick any team, any sport. Start selling all your young star players year in and year out. How do you expect to win sustainably? Now, Luchi Gonzalez has a hand in as a, you know, the youth development. I mean, he's developed players from McKinney to Cannon to Richards. He's had his hand in Tessman, Paxton Pomacal, Jesus Ferreira, Ricardo Pepe. What this guy's done to get these young guys to be professional players, not only MLS, and now they're springboarding to Europe to make more money. It's crazy. He's had his finger on it. Now, Dallas's front office, what's his name off the top of my head, Marco Ferruzzi, I do believe is. Some of their DP signings and foreign signings have not worked out. Ricard, I mean, I do like the defensive midfielder they have. What's his name? Off the top, Brian Acosta. The defensive midfielder, that was the only good sign. But out of all their foreign-type players from Yara up front, they've kind of missed. And, you know, to me, I think the general manager is more to blame at where Dallas' position is than I would blame Luchi Gonzalez. Is he the greatest X's and O's coach? No. But are the worst coaches in MLS? Absolutely. And to me, you know, I think this is a wrong move. You could either be a selling club, which is nothing wrong with that to your fans, or you want to be a winning club with trophies. They want to be now both. They made a ton of money sending these young talent, and now they want to win at the same time. And it's a very difficult situation. And in MLS, if you don't hit on your DPs, I don't care if it's one, two, or three, you have a hard time winning. I don't know how many young kids you got, and I think that's the problem right now in Dallas.
Absolutely. Mike, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a raw deal for Luchi Gonzalez. I think it boils down to the fact, when you look back at what Oscar Pereja did with Dallas, they still were winning games. They didn't have the roster that, you know, they, just like Luchi Gonzalez, he doesn't have the players like you bring up. He's got those young guys that he's bringing up, and they're selling off to Europe. But Oscar Pereja was still able to produce playoffs, still able to produce supporter shields, small playoff runs, nothing crazy. But with Luchi Gonzalez, it never really took off. And the inconsistency was way too inconsistent for me. So I get your side of it, but when it comes down to it, it is about the results. The coach, there's probably more to the story too. We don't know the inside rumblings of the locker room. We don't know how everything was being handled there. Who knows? This could have nothing to do with soccer. You know, there's lots of different things that come into play. But Luchi Gonzalez did a lot of great service for that club, built up a lot of young talent that is all over the world now. We'll see where they go from here. But overall, as a move, I don't like it, but I'm okay with it. I understand why.
One thing I do like about this move, U.S. under 20 job, I think is available, and I think Lucci Gonzalez would be a perfect candidate. They should look at him. I mean, that's one thing. There's a silver lining out of all this. I think he's gonna reappear somewhere, either, you know, something like that. And I think a U.S. under 20 job, Lucci Gonzalez, I think they should really look at
him. I second that motion.
I think he joins Chris Armas as one of those guys who might have been an excellent youth coach, but when it comes to taking that next step, getting out of the academy, just didn't put it together this season. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the rivalry of the week. That is NYCFC versus New York Red Bull. They played a game earlier this week, and they play again this weekend. Yesterday, to a 1-1 tie, and maybe more importantly for Red Bull, the sending off of Maxime Cheneau and Keaton Parks, who's going to leave NYCFC without two of their more solid players for this weekend. Alex, I know you rewatched that game a little earlier today. What do you want to sound off on for Red Bull against NYCFC?
Number one, we're Red Bull season ticket holders. This used to be a massive game. I mean, all week long we talk about a massive supporters game. And to me, the buzz is lost in this game. The Red Bull, the way they are this year, the lack of star power. Again, and NYCFC, even though they're higher in the standings, the lack of star power in this game has turned some fans off. You saw the attendance last night, now 16,000. There's no way more than 9,000 at that game at Red Bull Arena. I mean, that's just look on the TV. There's no way. But besides that, in this game, NYC was the better team. Castellanos capitalized on, I think, a John Tolkien bad pass and made it 1-0. The game changed in the second half once they got the Keaton Parks guy. I think a second yellow made the red card. And, you know, Red Bulls had trouble, Red Bulls' problem all year, breaking down a team that's playing defense, that stays behind the ball. They don't have that creative midfielder after Kaku was never replaced, was never found. And Red Bull had a hard time breaking down. NYCFC was doing fouling, stalling, laying down, clearing the ball, just trying to escape the 1-0 win down a man, get 3 points. I let you know it going into, because of that, there was a lot of stoppage time by some NYC fans.
12 minutes.
The whole game, they were stalling, lying down, wasting time. The referee wasn't stupid. He was just adding time. And don't you know, handball late in the game, 10th minute of stoppage time. That's a second yellow for Cheneau, second red card. You know, the Red Devil, the Polska, Patrick Clamart comes in, steps in, who has now, I think, three goals in the last four games, starting to score some goals for Red Bull. They escape in a 1-1 tie, even though I think NYCFC had more chances. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're NYCFC, you should be disappointed, because I think you were the better team in this. And if you're Red Bull, you're happy with the 1-1 result, even though you needed the 3 points to get into the playoff spot. Again, they go at it again this Saturday at that Bandbox in Yankee Stadium. With a couple, it should be a different lineup for both teams. I know Drew Yearwood got injured in his game for the Red Bulls. Now the two red card suspensions we're going to see. Both managers got to do squad rotation, short week. Let's see what happens. But to me, NYCFC right now is the better team in this area, and your Red Bulls have to do something to prove otherwise.
I don't think there's any interest in arguing that fact, for sure. I did want to point out that Klamala's 102nd minute goal was the latest goal ever scored in a Major League Soccer game during regulation. We do have a couple guys watching. I do want to shout out to Dave Sabinski, Connor McCabe, who are throwing comments up there in the comment section, including Connor saying, I don't think I'll be liked much in here with a Nashville and NYRB fan. In here who are crew rivals. Well, I am actually a Red Bull fan myself. I am a fan of the league, so I do own some jerseys outside of my rooting fandom. So you're all welcome here. And Shivendra, you are welcome too. So thank you for joining us here at I-80 Sports. I do want to spend some time. We brought our special guest on, and special guest got a special guest. And we got to talk about Toronto FC. The news, I guess, of the weekend, I was alerted that it was not finalized. I guess in my head, I'm willing it into fruition more than it's getting down a pen and paper. Giovinco set to sign with Toronto FC, kind of. Let's talk about that and just the direction of this club.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people thought it went final because Giovinco attended a TFC game, and they showed him on the big screen with Josie Altidore in the box. It's not final yet. Sebastian Giovinco still lives in Toronto. He kept his family there while he was over in Saudi Arabia. Much better living conditions over here. So, you know, it makes sense from that standpoint. And he's got businesses on the side in Toronto. So him being in Toronto doesn't necessarily mean anything. The fact that he's a free agent, he has been linked with a couple other clubs, PAOK, Thessaloniki from Greece. That was the most recent one. Those haven't panned out. So I think the bottom line is if he'll take a pay cut, he'll be back in Toronto next season. If he won't take a pay cut, he's going to have to find somewhere else to play. Because TFC, they're not, I mean, they're going to have a DP spot open come the offseason. Jozy Altidore will not be renewed. If he is, my God, I don't know what I'll do. But Ollie Curtis hopefully won't have a job anymore after the end of the season. They'll dump Jozy Altidore. I think we see a huge rebuild in Toronto coming up in the offseason. If he comes in as like a mid-level TAM player.
That was my question, yeah.
Yeah, if he comes in at a mid-level TAM player, I think that's where they can get it done. I don't even think maxing out TAM-wise, it's worth it for Giovinco. He has fallen down a little bit. He's 34. He's going to be 35 by next season. He's not the same player he was when he came here and lit up the league. Now, it's not like he's coming back. Well, he is coming back. It's not like he came into the league where people knew who he was, but they didn't know exactly what they were working with, and he took the league by storm. Now, this time, everybody knows Giovinco, one of the better players of all time in MLS. So it's not going to be that easy for him. So mid-level TAM player or lower, I can see it getting done. But TFC is going to have a lot of cap space. But also, I wanted to say what's up to Connor, Shivendra, and Dave. Thanks for jumping on, guys. Appreciate the support over here. Make sure to hit that like button and subscribe for these guys.
Thank you for the plug. I agree with everything you said about Giovinco. I think when he came to Toronto the first time, he was the highest paid Italian soccer player in the world. In the world, not in MLS, the highest paid soccer player in the world.
I got a quick question. Michael Bradley's status, what do you see him going forward after this season?
After this season, I think he's done. He signed a one-year max TAM level contract. I think he's done. If the club does what's right. I mean, look, I understand these guys are club legends. Thank him for their service. I'm sure he'll have a coaching offer on the table if he wants to hang the boots up. If not, then they'll say, hey, go do your thing somewhere else. But at that type of level, it's not there. Bradley, he's just way too slow. And it really pointed out with TFC watching that. I was live last night for York United and Toronto FC in the Canadian Championship, the CPL side. And it really highlighted some of the players for TFC. Michael Bradley looked great. Omar Gonzalez looked great. Well, you take that speed of MLS and the speed of CPL, and that's the difference. Michael Bradley and Omar Gonzalez are just too slow to play in MLS right now. So I think Bradley's done at the end of this year. I don't know if he'll retire, though, but maybe.
I would love to see him go and coach, like, if Matias Almeida walks, he can go coach the Quakes while his father's coaching LAFC. That'd be, like, a great little regional rivalry there. I do want to touch on two more guys. First, Ralph Priso, a player who really, really impressed me earlier on this season. He's out with a season-ending, I believe it's ankle surgery, the young 19-year-old. Yep. Really looked like he was in the plans for that midfield. But that midfield is getting a little crowded because now if you have Giovinco, you have Pozuelo. That right there is a little bit of a headbutt. But you also have a Jefferson Soteldo, who we saw his premiere at Red Bull Arena just a couple of months ago. How would you see this midfield breaking down? Who's the odd man out and who's taking free kicks?
Yeah, so I see the only midfielders I see staying right now is Jonathan Osorio and Alejandro Pozuelo. The rest of them, I think, move on. I see a huge rebuild coming with TFC this summer, this winter. It's gonna be crazy. Free kicks. Pozuelo can take the free kicks all day long. He's great at them. Or Giovinco, if it's in his range. I mean, you don't lose that at 35. You might lose your speed. You might lose your cutting, but you don't lose those free kicks. And he's one of the best in the world. I mean, he proved that when his time in MLS. But that midfield, they've got a lot of talent. Ralph Priso, man, love that kid. Unbelievable talent. I think he was the best player for TFC at the end of the season last year when they were in Connecticut. When that team was still grinding out results, he was the best player on the pitch for TFC and came in this year. He looked really good again this year, but unfortunately that injury when it should have been blown dead for offside, and he clears the ball off the line and just snapped his ankle just ridiculously. And that has been a concern for Ralph Priso. He definitely has had some injury issues coming up through TFC too and that academy. So I think he stays. I mean, they're going to keep him because he's got that young talent unless they ship him off to Europe somewhere for a profit. But great young player. Just got to get that health figured out.
Let's jump ahead and talk about some of the best players of the week. We're moving on to our high performance player segment. Your I-80 Sports High Performance Players of the Week. Now, here we're going to talk about the best players from the past week. And I'm going to start with Jadier O'Brien. He scored a brace, 86th minute and 93rd minute in a 3-2 loss. It was his second straight brace and his second straight game as man of the match. That brings his score sheet for the season up to 8 goals, 1 assist, and 6 yellow cards. Let's talk a little bit about Jahdir Obreon, what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think he's a hell of a player. I do picks and predictions on my show as well, and I also have an all-star membership level where I give prop bet picks and a player to score every week. And he's been one of my picks lately, and he has been lighting it up, winning us a lot of money. Good player. I mean, the scoring twice in that loss looks really solid on the field. Very active. Looks real good. I'm very impressed with him. And again, those no-name guys coming out of clubs like Dallas.
Absolutely. Let's move on to our next high performance player of the week. And this is one of Alex's favorite players, Reynoso. Finally back on the pitch, finally back in form. 2 goals in Minnesota's 3-0 win over the LA Galaxy. That brings him up to just 4 goals, 3 assists in an injury-shortened season. How important is it to Minnesota's success? We saw what Reynoso did during the 2020 playoff run. Alex, I'm going to throw over to you on this one.
As soon as you said that, your answer's right there. Wait, this guy steps up to playoff time. When he's healthy, Minnesota goes as far as he goes. He is not 100%. If he's not producing, they were going to be out. If they make the playoffs at all, they were going to be out in the first round. His vision, the way he sprays the ball around the field, he could finish. He could take guys one-on-one. It's very underrated. He reminds me a lot of Pozuelo when Pozuelo's on. I mean, they're very similar type players. They could take Zella Ryan is another name that comes to mind. These are guys that could take the game by the throat and finish it one-on-one just by their ability alone. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Adrian Heath as a coach, as an X and O's guys, but Reynoso on the field makes Heath look a lot smarter the way he distributes the ball. And as long as he's healthy, Minnesota's going to go far. And I'm interested to see what's going to go on later in the season.
It's very interesting that a player that skilled struggled to get onto that starting roster last season for Minnesota. But once he started, if you look at the last regular season game, 1 goal, 2 assists. It's a great way to get your playoff run started. Then he had 2 assists, 3 assists, and 1 goal and 1 assist. Definitely a game changer, Reynoso. We will see what he brings. Hopefully he can sustain some success over the next month and bring Minnesota some more wins. Last player of the week that I want to talk about is Kasper Schmeichel. Scored a brace in the 3-1 win over Orlando City. His last goal before that was actually July 26th via Miami. His third in 3 straight games during that hot stretch. Got to feel good to get him going again. You pair him up top with Burke. You pair him up top with Sergio Santos. It doesn't matter. I love what he can do in the air. We watched him at Red Bull Arena. I mean, this guy's got a head on him. He must have hit 3 posts off headers in that one game. Definitely a guy with a nose for the net. Kasper Schmeichel, good to see him going again. And he lands on our high performance players. I think one more player that we could have added, Huni Mukhtar, who had a great brace in last night's game. 6 minute off to a good start. Zimmerman added a 2-minute goal and Hany Mukhtar again. Let's see what he can do this weekend. If he can get another goal on net on Saturday or Sunday, we're going to bring him right up again for next week. And that'll be 2 weeks in a row, Hany Mukhtar as a high performance player of the week.
Nice. Yeah. Mukhtar is really coming to his own this season. Last year was a bit of a disappointment for him as that first big signing for Nashville and didn't live up to the expectation. This season, he's doing that quietly.
Absolutely. Let's move on and talk about our toll booth picks of the week.
The I-80 Sports Toll Booth, where you can find the best bets of the week.
One of these days, I'll get better at transitions. Until now, well, then I'll just click the button and let the coin deposit take care of it. In this segment, I'm going over a little bit about my article that I post every week. There are 20 straight articles, and this is week 20. Although it's week 24 in MLS with all those midweek games, it is our 20th straight week. Every weekend, I post an article, so you can find that at iedsports.com. It's all written word, and we're going to go over it a little bit on the show and talk about what the picks are, where the edge is, and look for those advantages when you're filling out your sports book this week. First match I want to talk about is the Columbus Crew hosting the Montreal Impact. My pick is Impact win or draw -130 on the double chance. Montreal is higher in the standings and in better form, yet the straight money line has Columbus at -110 and Montreal at +250. Columbus is 6-3-3 at home this season, but I don't see that advantage being enough to hold off a Montreal Impact team that's going to be near full strength. And to make things worse, Zella Ryan is out for the Crew with a hip injury, while Pedro Santos is still questionable after missing last game with a concussion. Let's throw it down to you, Mike. Columbus Crew, Montreal Impact. I'm taking Impact in the double chance at -130.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite here. I actually have the Crew pulling this off. Montreal looked really bad. against Halifax last night in the Canadian Premier League or Canadian Championship against the CPL side. That team is very inconsistent. Columbus is starting to turn things around slowly but surely there, and they've gotten over that new stadium jinx instead of a new stadium bump. And they got the win last week. They did not play in the midweek. So, yes, they've got some injury issues, but Miguel Berry looks really strong. Montreal having to go on the road to Halifax, then on the road to Columbus on the weekend. I like the chances for Columbus, and that was my pick for this week.
Alex, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I don't like what's happened in Columbus, even though they seem to be, the last couple weeks, seem to be playing better. The injury situation is just devastating. I don't know, Santos, I think he's out again. Zella Ryan might be out in this game. I mean, like you mentioned, Barry stepped up out of nowhere to the Argentine College, I think with the College of San Jose. I mean, he's stepped up, he's got some big-time goals for Columbus. That new stadium hasn't been exactly, you know, a fortress. You know, talking about the travel, once he mentioned the travel, I start thinking, you know what? To me, this got tie written all over it, man. If I would ever gamble with one of those tie picks, this has got a 1-1 game written all over it. Columbus, to me, I don't have enough confidence to put my money on to go straight up to take the win. If anything, I like Bob's double chance of this, but to me, I would rather go straight up to make a little more money. I'm going to take the tie, and it's going to go 1-1 in this game.
Montreal is better at scoring this season so far than the Crew. Montreal scored on 33% of their shots on target compared to the Crew's 26%. Montreal is also averaging about two more shot-creating actions per game than the Columbus Crew. You know,
Georgi Mihailovic, we don't talk about Georgi Mihailovic, yeah. And no one talks about him. This kid, man, I know Andre wanted him. He went over there, and then he left, and I thought it'd be devastating to the kid. That was a move, you know, as a U.S. national team, you want to see Georgi Mihailovic under Henri's vision to see how he can be a midfielder to spray the ball and be an attacking player would have been tremendous. However, he has stepped up. He's been quietly one of the top 10 midfielders in Major League Soccer, I would say. I mean, really, and no one really talks about him. And it's one of the reasons why I like Montreal in this game and going on road. If Zella Ryan is out, I'm definitely sticking with this 1-1 tie.
All right, and let's move on and now talk about the Chicago Fire hosting Nashville SC. I'm taking Nashville SC with a win or draw, minus 250 on the double chance. Nashville has two matches this week, midweek in Miami, where they just blew the doors off of Inter. And then they're playing again this weekend in Chicago. I assume the only reason Nashville is plus 135 straight is because of some squad rotation. But even if you'd consider that, I think they have a really good chance of beating the Chicago Fire. Chicago's 6-5-14, allowing 40 goals in 25 games this season. Nashville is second in the East. And, you know, they're following that MLS success recipe. Win at home, tie on the road. That's why I'm taking the double chance at minus 250. Not great odds, but... That's where I'm going. They are 2-5-3 in their last 5-6-7-8-9-10 in their last 10 away games. But they've only lost 3 of those 7 road games. So although the record doesn't look good on paper, they're not losing on the road. Nashville SC visits Chicago. How are you feeling about that game?
Yeah, I'll take Nashville all day on this one. Chicago is a mess right now. I mean, they've been shut out the previous two games before last night. They ended up scoring a few games against a rested and B-team New England Revolution side. Almost had the draw, but I'll take Nashville all day long in this matchup. Nashville, I think they were doing well, and then they woke up when they went to Toronto and lost to TFC, who's by far the worst team in the league this year. It's not even close. That woke them up. And I think they take Chicago out, no problem, on the road. I love those odds. I'm jumping on.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like Nashville. And it's the way Nashville plays. Chicago, with that 7,000 announced last night at Soldier Field, the Chicago Bear lines. Oh, what a disaster it is. And there weren't even 7,000 people there. How many people are you going to show up this week after, you know, the way Chicago is in the standings? And I don't know, the Bears home Sunday? That means the lines will still be out there. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. The way Nashville's playing, again, I got the double chance if you want to wimp out. I agree with Bob, you know, just to make sure you don't get zapped on a tie, Billy's. But I think this might be my best bet for the week. I like the way Nashville's playing. I don't like the way Chicago's playing. The plus 130, man, I'm in, man. I'm taking Nashville for this
one. I love it. So let's talk about a game that is not so straightforward. This one is about even money on each side. That's the Vancouver Whitecaps hosting FC Dallas. I'm taking Vancouver plus 105. Now, we talked about Dallas, all the trouble they're having there, the coaching change. They have a lot of squad rotation throughout the season, too. Their attack looks good on paper. Jadier Obreon, one of our players of the week. Jesus Ferreira, Ricardo Pepi. In theory, when the squad is 100% and they're, you know, playing at home and everything is going their way, they have a very powerful team. However, it's at Vancouver, and Vancouver currently, they're only 4 points out of playoff contention. They're trying to claw their way back in. This match for me represents one of their best chances to pick up 3 points over the next couple of weeks. I think they're going all in on this game. Maybe we'll get some Brian White luck. Vancouver Whitecaps are going to beat FC Dallas, and I'm taking Vancouver plus 105. Alex cringes every time I say Brian White's name because we've had him for quite some time. That's the rules. I don't make him up.
Man, Brian White. Oh, man, that's trouble, man. He went over to Vancouver and just woke up. What happened? It turned into a completely different player over there.
It's called service. It's called Christian Dahomey and Dyber Caicedo are actually serving him the ball.
What's that, Ryan Gaul, the new midfielder they picked up in the summertime? Once they got him, Vancouver has turned the page. And the coaching change, I think, helped. Both teams of this game have coaching changes. Dallas just recently happened. So going back to the last few years, when I see Dallas, when they're on the road, I always look at the other team and immediately start thinking and put my money on that. When Dallas is home, I usually like to look at Dallas at home to put my money on it. In this case, the way Vancouver, the form they're in, the way they're bobbies and bowing for a playoff spot, Dallas just now with the shock with a lot of young players, their coach that they brought up, that, you know, it's coached him in the academy, he's gone. I don't like the way Dallas is playing right now, especially the loss 3-2 to Houston this past week. I'm going to take Vancouver at home getting plus 105. Sign me up. I'm going to take Vancouver in this one.
All right. Yeah, this one, like you said earlier, Alex, this one's got draw written all over it. I think FC Dallas is going to have a bit of that new coach bump. And even though it's going to be just an interim coach, I can see that coming as that bump helping Dallas out there. You got to just say O'Brien, he's hot right now, or O'Brien. So with Vancouver, you know, that team has a lot of talent, but they haven't been able to put it together as of late. I mean, they've got a lot of draws and whatnot, but even the GM for Vancouver said these are fake results. That's why they let Mark DeSantos go, which it had been a long time coming anyways. But I see the draw. This game's got a draw written all over it. Vancouver at home, they should get the result, but I could see Dallas kind of pumping it up due to the news there with Lucha Gonzalez, and I'm going straight up with the draw.
I wish the weather is not updated yet for the 10 o'clock game in Vancouver, but it's going to be cold.
They got a dome. They got one of those cool spider web roofs or whatever. So, yeah,
I think it's retractable. Is that retractable or no? I think it's retractable if I'm on the
side. It is. It's a really weird design. It's like it's basically like a clear mesh or netting or something, but like it's a really weird design. But they can close that or open it. It's a retractable roof, so it'll be a nice 72 degrees in that.
FC Dallas is 2-3-9 on the road with 19 goals and 31 goals against. As good as this attack can be, their defense does not travel. That's why I got to be taking Vancouver in this game. Vancouver has only lost one of their last 12 matches, and as I really think. Turn their season around. We will see. This is going to be an interesting game to watch for sure, especially if you're on the East Coast. Maybe catch the replay in the next morning.
I'm still wondering about Vancouver. I'm not – if you look on this roster, I know we've gotten results, but just like you just mentioned, these are results that aren't exactly – give you a warm feeling of Vancouver going forward. They're going to make this big run into the playoffs and do some damage. I mean, I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors right now. The only reason I'm taking Vancouver because the Dallas situation right now, Dallas isn't exactly in a – if the same, if not worse, situation in Vancouver, and it's the only reason Vancouver's home, I'm going to take them home. Again, you know my strategy. Dallas on the road, I go against them usually, and when they're home, I usually like to look at them, and this is another case in that. I'm going to have to stick with them. I almost changed my mind, but I'm going to stick with Vancouver.
I'm just going to disagree. They beat LAFC. They beat a very fit Real Salt Lake by running their legs off. I really like what's going on here in Vancouver. But let's talk about the final game. This might be the game of the week. Sporting KC hosts the Seattle Sounders. Now, this is, when I talk about sports betting, one of those bets, even if you don't think a result is going to happen, I like to think in my head, give it a percentage. I'm taking the Seattle Sounders in plus 260 away at Sporting KC in this match. And when I think about Sounders, I give them maybe a 40% chance of winning this game. And you might think, well, Bob, why are you betting on a game that only has a 40% chance to win? Because they're getting plus 260. That's just disrespectful of a line to me. You know, for me, I wrote in the article, unstoppable object meets immovable force this Sunday. Seattle travels to Children's Mercy Park. This matchup is between two powerhouse Western Conference teams that play exceptional both at home and on the road. Sporting KC, Seattle Sounders, there's not much of it. They don't play different at home and away. They just win soccer games. This bet caught my eye. Two reasons. One, Seattle plus 260. Anytime that line comes up, I'm taking it. And the second reason is because it's a Sunday primetime game going up against NFL football. If you put a couple bucks down, you have an extra reason to watch Major League Soccer this weekend. I know this might be a little controversial pick. I do think Sporting Kansas City has the clear edge there at home, but Seattle Sounders plus 260. Anytime I see Seattle over 150, I have to take a serious consideration at betting it, and that's my pick for this week.
All right, yeah, that's that is very tasty, man. At plus 260, I'm on. I'm with BetUS, so I actually have an affiliate program with BetUS right now, and their odds plus 300 right now. Just pulled it up. You got to throw a little bit of money on that. Now, as far as the game itself, my brain
a sprinkle.
Absolutely. My brain in this one goes immediately to draw. I think Kansas City at home, I like their chances. Then you add on the fact that Seattle just played in League's Cup, 90 minutes of grueling soccer in Las Vegas, technically on the road. They prioritize that. They played their full starting 11. We're going to have a lot of kids in this game against Kansas City. So I think I can see, again, Seattle, that team always finds a way to grind out results. Kansas City, albeit top of the West, they just haven't impressed me this season. They really haven't. And I like the draw on this one at plus 265 on BetUS here. And Seattle with plus 300, that's something where I'm dabbling a little bit with that as well. But my pick, if I got to go down officially on one, I'm going with
it. Yeah, I'm not betting this game. I mean, this can go – when you see plus 300 Seattle, how do you not want to throw like $5 down just for the sake of throwing money down? I mean, that's insane. Dude. That's disrespect. I mean, that's just crazy. I'm not touching this game, but if I'm going to pick a winner in this one, only because Seattle played midweek, they went full out in Las Vegas, they're going to be tired, might be some squad rotation. Sporting Kansas City knows it's a big game for them. They want to solidify that Western spot, and I agree with you. They haven't looked exactly like as the best team in the West – at most of the times, but in this situation, they have full rest. I'm going to say Sporting Kansas City ekes it at one other thing, but would I go like a double chance? Like if I really want to put money down just to, you know, as a tie, I would do something like that. But me, I'm going to take Sporting Kansas City double chance on this one, the equal now.
The double chance, I need to look it up. It would probably be like minus 200, so you get like half your money back on a bet. Definitely not a bad way to go.
This is a game that you're going to take two different things. You're going to throw a little cash on Seattle to plus 300, and then you're going to decide what you want to do with the actual result, just in case Seattle does pull it out.
I wrote in the article that I spent some time on this week, no player in Major League Soccer has had such low expectations and such high contributions as Daniel Shalloway. We talked to guys from SKC Radio earlier this offseason, and I asked about Daniel Shalloway. I said, I hope he has a great season, and they go, we think he's on the roster bubble. That's what they thought about him heading into the season. Now he's a Golden Boot finalist, I guess. 13 goals, 5 assists on his tally sheet. This week, they're going to be missing Alan Pulido, they could be missing Alan Pulido. I don't like how that looks. And when it comes to Seattle, you know who's going to score. They can tell you. You can put the opposing coach in Seattle's locker room and hear, hey, we're going to get the ball to Rui Diaz and put the ball in the net. And hey,
I'm hearing Jordan Morris is looking really good. He's running and looks like he may be back at the end of the season. I'm not sure, but I'm hearing he's looking very good. He's itching to play. So that's a good sign for everybody.
Wow.
I love it. I mean, that's you're going to have to put the brakes on that yourself because, you know, that guy knows no chill, overcome so much already, being not only diabetic and one of the very few diabetic professional athletes there and overcoming that struggle, but with injuries and stuff, we definitely wish him the best. Get back to Seattle and do what he does. When he went down, I thought that there was going to be problems, and they're just not. Seattle hasn't lost a step, so I absolutely love that pick this year. I'll have to check out BetUS.
I can throw down the link with my link through SOP Soccer and BetUS. You get 125% sign on bonus, $100. You deposit $100, you're going to get $100 free in the sports book, and then you're going to get $25 to throw around the casino, which again, if you're wasting your time in an online casino with real money, you're nuts. But it's free money, so why not?
I love it. Any final words, Mike? Why don't you play your channel one more time and anything that's on your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys can find me, Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central, here on YouTube, at SOP Soccer on Twitter. We got Facebook and Instagram too. Look, this is going to be a fun weekend of soccer. It's getting into crunch time. in the playoff race, and it's heated up in both conferences. The East was kind of like a lock, like number one, and then there was 2 through 5, and then the rest. And now it's wide open through 2 through 8. So that's going to be exciting in the East. The Western Conference is wide open. It's anybody's game. There's probably 10 teams that can make the playoffs there. I'm excited for this as well. CONCACAF World Cup qualifying window coming up in just a few short weeks. We do a lot of CONCACAF stuff over on Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central as well, so make sure you guys check out that. I do betting picks and predictions for that, but odds for that stuff usually aren't that pretty. So with that being said, it's been a pleasure being on here, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And to everybody who showed up in the chat tonight, guys, thanks for stopping by. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button for these guys. I've been following them for a long time. Bob and Alex, you guys are kicking ass, man, and well done, and let's keep going.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the kind words and the plug. You're welcome here absolutely anytime. Two guys talking soccer is great. Three guys talking soccer is always better. So thanks for that. And Alex, before we go, I know you're itching to talk about something that you happened to do last night that was a non-sporting event, but I was getting updates every 5 minutes.
I blew off the Red Bull. Listen to my voice. I blew off the Red Bull NYCFC game to attend the AEW show at wrestling show at Arthur Ashe Stadium, and my voice is still shot. I mean, that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I don't care what anybody says. It was just incredibly awesome. It was a great time over there. Great shout out to AEW, the way they treated the fans. It was just amazing. And if you ever went to I've never been to the Arthur Ashe Tennis Stadium. That was one of the nicest stadiums I've ever seen. I didn't realize that the dome closes, and it was just, there's not a bad seat in the house. Holds 20,000. And if you ever get a chance to check that place out, you definitely got to go.
I was getting a low resolution video all night from whatever potato phone you had. Your Razer 2 or whatever you're taking pictures on.
Oh, come on. Galaxy A+, Max. Come on. Seriously.
Okay, we're out of here. Thank you again, Mike, for joining us. Alex, thank you again for being here. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy some Major League Soccer.